your Bibles with you tonight, would like to turn with us to a portion of Scripture reading. If you'll turn with us to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. On Wednesday night, it was my night to preach, and we had a service here that didn't warrant any preaching. And Brother Carey was joking around with me, and he said, "If you get another night where you don't have to preach, I'm going to be upset with you." What he didn't know was I was worrying with this sermon long before Wednesday night, and it's been worrying me since Wednesday night, so I'm going to unleash it tonight if God will help us. And it's not one that's going to be easy to preach. It's one that we need to take our time with tonight, because I want you to realize some of the things that are taking place in this fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, a lot of people get scared about Revelation, and I do too. There's a lot of things in there I don't understand. There's still things that I don't think we'll ever understand truly. There are some things in this tonight I want us to get, and I pray by the end of this we'll all have a better understanding of it. If you're here tonight and lost, saved, whoever that you might be, I pray that this message will be beneficial to you. The fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, starting with the first verse, says this: "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." And if we could take for a lesson text tonight, if we could just take for a thought for just a few moments tonight, it would be out of the 12th verse, "Worthy is the Lamb." I want you to realize tonight, as I stand before you, that I'm not worthy. I'm not even worthy of the clothes that I have on my back tonight. If I stand before you tonight and I try to claim that I'm worthy, I'd be lying to you tonight. Because there's nothing about me except for what Jesus Christ did for me many years ago that's even remotely worthy tonight. I want you to realize there is one that is worthy, and His name is Jesus Christ. These verses of Scripture, they're not pointing to someone that's coming, but they're pointing to someone who has already came. Oh, and I'm so glad the Lion of the tribe of Judah has already come for my soul and for yours. You know, the Scriptures have been teaching about Jesus Christ ever ever since the beginning of time. I believe there have been types of Christ all throughout the Old Testament. You read over in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, and it talks about the tribe of Judah. And it talks about how the scepter shall not be taken from the tribe of Judah, and how that the lawgiver will stay there until Shiloh is come. And Shiloh being one, that means that to whom the scepter belongs. You know who that is tonight? That's Jesus Christ. All throughout the Old Testament, there were things pointing to Jesus Christ. You see tonight, the Word wants us to believe that Jesus is not worthy, that He's not the one that dies for sinners. The world would have us believe that tonight, and they've almost got people convinced. But I want you to know tonight that there's only one worthy. And He's the one that we're going to try to preach to you about tonight. You know, as I was thinking about this message, I thought about how this world tries to tell us that there are worthy men in this life. You know, there's a lot of people that I admire. There's a lot of people that I love tonight. There's some that I don't love that the world tries to tell us that we must admire. A few years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant down here in Nashville, and one of the mega church pastors walked in, and I knew who he was. I'd seen him on TV enough times. And around him, there was this whole entourage of people. And I thought, well, I guess he needs that since he's a mega church pastor. He's afraid somebody might talk to him. But as I saw him walk in, I thought, that man must truly believe in his heart. The way that he looked, the way that he acted, the way that he presented himself made you almost believe that he thought that he was Jesus Christ. You want to know who I'm talking about? Just go over to over there on Old Hickory Boulevard over in Madison, Tennessee, and you'll know who I'm talking about. But I want you to realize tonight, there's not a man in this world that is worthy of your honor and your glory except for the one of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ. He's the only one tonight. You can put your faith in everybody that you want to, but until you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell. That's how it is. And I want us to go through these verses tonight. And I want us to get what John saw out of these. I believe it says, and I saw, and I believe John saw these things. I've never seen these things, but John did. I believe John was given some revelation here about some things that were going to take place. And I want you to imagine tonight that we're looking at this a scroll that Jesus or God has in His hands. And they're murmuring around heaven and they're saying, there's nobody worthy to open the scroll. There's nobody worthy. John looking around saying, nobody in heaven and nobody on earth is worthy to open the scroll. He begins to weep. I'm going to tell you tonight, if there was nobody worthy, we'd have a reason to weep. But someone told him, one of the elders, he said, weep not, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. You want to know what lineage Jesus came out of? David's lineage. So he's got both of them on his side tonight. He come out of the tribe of Judah, and his lineage comes from the line of David. He comes through that exact bloodline. What does it say happened? He says, He hath prevailed to open the book. I want you to know tonight, and this is my belief, that this book that is contained here, I believe that's the will of God. Isaiah says that His ways are higher than our ways, that we cannot even know them. But you know there's one worthy to know about it. Amen. There's one worthy tonight to know everything. His name's Jesus. Aren't you glad tonight that He's worthy? Aren't you glad that He prevailed? What did He prevail over? He prevailed over sin. The Scripture says that He came a little lower than the angels. I've told them here at Mount Calvary before, I said that He didn't have to come and He didn't have to do anything for any of us. He could have stayed in heaven. could have very well said, I want nothing to do with those people. I care nothing about their sin and I care nothing about their spiritual well-being. I don't care. But He loved us. And I want you to realize tonight, there was only one remedy for sin. And that was the lamb. You read over in the book of Leviticus about the altar practices that they had when they had to bring forth a sacrifice for Israel. There had to be a blood offering. Had to be some blood shed on the altar so that it might take their sins away ceremonially. At least to look that way. There had to be some other kind of animal as well, if you remember. And it's called the scapegoat. There's one over there that the blood was slain. This is all symbolic, I want you to understand. The Scripture says that the blood of bullocks and goats and these things, they've never taken away sin. They were merely symbolic things that those that had to keep the law, that they had to fulfill, had to be fulfilled on the Day of Atonement. And they had one, the one that was the blood. It was killed and blood was given on the altar. And there had to be one to take the sins away. And so the high priest, he would pray over this scapegoat and then they would let it loose into the wilderness. And it'd be driven out. You see, there was a type of Christ there. You see, there are people tonight that believe that Jesus did not appear in the Old Testament, but I believe very much Jesus has been pointed to the whole time. There's a group of people tonight that will say that Jesus has not come. Woe unto them when He comes back this next time. Because they're still looking for somebody to take their sins away. But they're too silly to realize He had already prevailed for their sins. But this scapegoat had to take the sins away. It had to drive it out. It had to take it as far away as it could get from them. And we're going to get to that in a few moments if God help us. But you want to know something? All throughout it, it's pointing to the One that's worthy. See, none of these things, and I want you to realize tonight, none of the things that you think you have to offer God, none of them are worthy tonight. There's not one thing that you'll offer God that He doesn't already have. Because He's worthy. They thought they were offering things. They knew that they were offering things symbolically, but they knew it was part of the law. He prevailed over that law too, didn't He? When He came that day and died on the cross, He prevailed over that. Oh, and I'm so glad tonight that every time, one time a year, that we don't have to come together and slay our animals and we don't have to do symbolic offerings to God. But I'm so thankful that the offering has already been made for you and for me. Oh, and I believe John was getting a glimpse that night that he looked over into heaven. And I want you to get this picture tonight. As the elders began to stand around the throne, you know, there was something that took place here that was magnificent. You see, I believe tonight that God was handing over this scroll, this book, to Jesus. It says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain." John 1 and 29 says, "Behold, the lamb that was slain." Revelation 13 says that the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. See, there's always been talk about a lamb. You know, there's even a little song the kids sang, "Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow." Aren't you glad tonight that there's a little lamb that Mary had whose fleece was white as snow? You know what that means? It means He didn't have any sin in Him. You want to know what we've got tonight? Every single one of us. We are all sinners in the sight of God. We are not worthy of salvation. If you think you're worthy, you'll never get saved. I wasn't worthy then, and I'm sure not worthy now of it. I'm going to stand in front of this congregation. I'm going to tell you this. My granddad made mention of this scripture earlier. And I want you to know tonight, I believe it to be the truth. It says all men are liars. You know what lying is? It's a sin. That gets everybody. That means not one of us are worthy of anything except hell.
Everybody here tonight, lost and saved, should be bound for a devil's hell. Every single one of us, if you've been saved by the grace of God, I want you to realize something tonight. Us as Baptists, we believe in something called justification. You see, we've got to realize something when we're lost. We got to realize how worthless and how awful that we are. And if you never realize that, you'll never get saved. I want you to understand something. If you come before God and you say, well, I've done this and I've done that, and you let pride stand in your way, you'll go to hell. There are a lot of people tonight that are afraid of seeking the Lord. But you want to know something? The Bible says that we all have to come the same way. Why is that? Because He's worthy. Doesn't mean He has to come 15 different ways. It means you come one way or you don't come at all. You know which way you come? By the blood of the Lamb. You've got to come that way or you don't come at all. It says, and He came and He took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. Just took it out of His hand. I don't believe there was a struggle there. I believe God just handed it over to this Lamb, the Son of God. It says, when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You want to know what they were doing? They were worshiping the Lord. They were falling down and they were worshiping this Lamb. I want you to understand something, not saved and lost people. The only thing that warrants our worship tonight is the Lamb of God. He's what all of our affections should be on. He's the Lamb tonight. I'm not the Lamb, you're not the Lamb, but He is the Lamb. And He's the only Lamb that there ever has to be, because He's the perfect Lamb of God, the one that was slain before the foundation of the world. But I want you to realize tonight that they were taking these harps, and I believe they played their harps for Jesus, the Lamb of God. I believe they were worshiping Him. I'm going to tell you, it's not like worship down here. This is a pure form of worship. I want you to understand tonight, those of us that are saved by the grace of God, we have never worshiped God like we will when we get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you tonight, every single one of us, we ought to be worshiping the one true God. If your worship goes to anything else, you've made a mistake. If you're here tonight and you're lost, guess what? Because you're still lost, you're not worshiping the one true Lamb. And the Bible says that He is a jealous God. He's jealous over that tonight. He made you. And He wants you to be His. He desires that you would be His child. Otherwise, He would not draw you. I told them a few weeks ago here, I said that if you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. If I told you to raise your hands tonight, and I'm not going to do it, how many of you would want to be a child of the devil? Nobody would raise their hands. If I ask who would want to be a child of God, everybody would want to raise their hands. When you put it in terms like that, people realize just the condition that they are in. Because I want you to understand, until you have been saved by the grace of God, you are not a child of the King. But tonight I am able to say I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the Most High God. I belong to the God whose Lamb was slain on Calvary's cross. It says, and they had vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Oh, can you imagine those vials being opened and those prayers going to Jesus and God Himself? Them just being opened. I believe there are prayers tonight that are touching the throne of God. And I believe tonight, if you're lost, you can touch that throne of God. And you don't need anybody else to do it. All you need is a prayer from your heart straight to Jesus Himself. And He'll turn to God and God will say, that's my child. Because worthy is the Lamb. to be able to set him free. Says, and they sung a new song. They were singing to the Lamb of God. I want you to understand something, and I love singing down here. I love the singing that our churches do. Oh, but there's a new song that I'm going to sing someday after a while. And it's not going to be one of these down here, because you want to know something? This world doesn't know anything about the grace of God like those who have been saved know about it. I believe Mr. Newton, when he wrote Amazing Grace, I believe he had to have been a saved man to know anything about that grace. But even that song won't be able to touch the song that they're singing in heaven tonight.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, you don't know that song, and you'll never sing it. The Bible says right here that we're going to sing a new song. And I believe there's going to be people, and I believe there were some that were gathered around there that were singing in the choir that is set before the throne. Can you imagine going to heaven and singing in that amazing, beautiful choir? But someday, we're going to sing in that choir. What a day that's going to be. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know what the Scriptures tell me? It says that every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. You know who that includes? Everybody. It doesn't mean that you're going to get out of it just because you're here tonight. It doesn't mean you're going to get out of it because you're a citizen of the United States of America. It means that every knee shall bow and worship the Lord. I believe in giving God honor and glory. I believe our lives as saved people should give God honor and glory. And I believe the moment that we don't give God honor and glory anymore, when our lives get more honor and glory from our death than it does out of our living, I believe God takes us out of here. I believe that. But I want you to know tonight, everybody that is sitting here, everybody that has been born, will be born, they're going to acknowledge the Lamb. They're going to acknowledge their Savior one way or another. And I've heard this theory. And they say God is so loving, and Brother Kemp touched on this last night, that God is so loving that in that last moment He's going to have a change of heart and He's going to take everybody to heaven with Him. Well, you just keep dreaming on. The Bible says that He's a just God. He gives everybody an opportunity to be saved. He does. I believe that. If He didn't, He wouldn't be just. But I believe in a just God. And I'm going to tell you something. Because He is just, that means that everybody is going to worship the Lord. Now, you can do this one of two ways. You can do it the easy way, and that means getting saved and seeking the Lord and finding grace in the sight of God. Or you can do this the hard way. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, you're choosing that way if you stay in that condition. You can wait until the Lord comes back or you die and you have no more opportunity. But guess what? The Scripture will still ring true, and it says, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. You'll either do it while you have the opportunity or you'll die in your sins and you won't have an opportunity. But you're still going to acknowledge the King. I want you to know tonight, there's somebody in hell that is still acknowledging Jesus Christ. He's still acknowledging that He needs to be saved. You read over in the Scriptures, and I believe we're talking about the rich man and Lazarus, and I may have hit on that a little bit last night. But you know what He said? He said, oh, send someone to tell my brothers about this place. Send someone to tell my brothers what kind of condition that I'm in. And they said, they've had the opportunity. They've heard the teachings. They had the same opportunity that you had, and you squandered it. I'm going to say this tonight. God is a long-suffering God. But I believe you can spit in His face one too many times and be turned off into a devil's hell just as much as the next person that is sitting beside you in a lost condition. I'm going to urge you tonight to seek God while He may be found, while there is still breath in your body. I want you to know something. Tonight and you're lost and you say, God is not dealing with me. You better be on your knees begging God to deal with you so that He can save your soul. Sister Tanya said last night that somebody told her, before she was ever lost, they said, are you lost? And she said, no. And she said, well, if I were you, I'd get on my knees and I'd ask God to make me lost so I could get saved. I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's the kind of condition this world needs to be in. People need to be concerned about their soul. I want you to realize something. The same God, the same Jesus, the same Lamb that is able to take the scroll from the God of this world's hand is the same God, the same Jesus that is able to save your soul tonight. Do you really want to stand before Him? And we're going to get to those scriptures if God will be our helper tonight. Do you really want to stand before Him tonight? Because as I told you, He's a just and He's a fair God. Lord, help those that may be lost tonight. It says, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And these are the most beautiful verses, I believe, anywhere in the Bible, these next few. Because they speak about the worship of my Savior. I want you to realize tonight, I have abused my salvation a lot of times. I've never lost it, and you can't lose it. You better be thankful for that tonight, those that are saved by the grace of God. I've done a lot of things contrary to the will of God, and I still do. I'm still a human. As long as I'm in this body, I'm going to go against the flesh. Paul said, the things that I would do, I do not, and the things I wouldn't do, I do. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It means that we are always at war against God. We will always be at war against God. At least our minds will. You see, the soul pulls one way and the mind pulls the other. There are times in my life that I have been so close to God that I have been able to worship Him in a way that I think, in my mind, that is so close to Him that I feel that I've almost gotten in a state of heaven-like situation. How many of you enjoy, saved people, enjoy when Jesus comes by, God comes by, sends His Spirit by, and blesses you till your cup just overflows? I enjoy that. I'm glad when He comes by and He blesses me. He doesn't have to, but I'm so thankful that He does. Isn't it wonderful that He's able to do that? There have been times I've not been close to the Lord like I should be. Every single one of us has been saved by the grace of God. We've been in those situations. There's going to come a day. There's going to come a day when this whole robe of flesh is going to be taken off. I'm going to lay down this walk of life. I'm going to lay down this old body that I've been given for this short amount of time. I'm going to lay it all down. Because He has saved my soul, because He redeemed the inside of me, He didn't redeem this whole body. Because guess what? I came in as a sinner and this whole body is going out a sinner. But this soul is going to a land of perfect peace and joy. As I told you, I've done a lot of things contrary to the will of God. There's going to be a day when I'm going to be able to fall down at His feet. And I'm going to be able to say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that died for my soul. Worthy is the Lamb who went to a cross so that one night, as a little boy, that I would pour my heart out to, that I would get in a condition that I realized that hell was going to be my home and I couldn't do anything about it. And because You're worthy, God, because Jesus, You shed Your blood on the cross, because You took the Lamb's place, because You took the place of me, worthy are You. You see, I'm not worthy tonight to take His place. That's why He had to come. Because every single one of us, we're unworthy. We're not worthy as He is. It says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. It says, and the four beasts said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. I want you to realize tonight, you better be getting in a shape to where you can see God someday, see Jesus someday after a while, because He's worthy tonight. You know, immediately after all of this took place, there were some things that happened. The seals began to be opened. And I'm going to tell you tonight, those seals, I don't know everything about them. I've tried to study them and I can't tell you everything about them. If you'll turn with us to the 12th verse of the 6th chapter. And Brother Kemp touched on these last night, and I've got to use them again. I want you to realize something tonight. Because you're unworthy, and because I'm an unworthy, and I touched on justification a little bit earlier. You see, when God saves a soul, what He does is He justifies that soul. He takes us from a place where our souls are unworthy, they're unfit before the King, to where they're unfit before the King. It's a justification that only He can provide. You can't do it yourself. I've tried to justify a lot of things that I've done. And if I'd ever go before my parents and say, but this is the reason why, they'd say, well, you're still stupid and you still don't know as much as you think you do. So go on and you do what I tell you to do. I never got justification from them. I was never able to justify my actions. But Jesus was. You see, He's able to justify. You see, I always come up with some lame excuse of why I thought my actions warranted why I should get to do what I want to do. I'd always say, well, can I please? And you know what the answer usually was? I said no. And I didn't always get my way, and contrary to what the world might think so. But you know, the world today, and I preached this a few weekends ago at a youth weekend in West Virginia. I said, people today are so jaded in their thinking that they believe they're owed the best of the best of the best. This world today says, because you're you, you get the best. Everybody thinks they're so entitled. That's the problem with our society today, is entitlement. Well, I want you to know something tonight. Because you're a sinner, you're entitled to hell. It's exactly what you deserve. That's exactly what you need. It's exactly what I needed that night. And then somebody justified me. It wasn't my actions. It wasn't because I was a good little boy. It wasn't because my granddad was a deacon there. It wasn't because he led singing. It wasn't because I had on a red polo shirt. You know what it was? It was Jesus that justified me. Why is that? Because His blood was worthy to take away my sins. Nothing I tried would ever justify me. And it won't justify you. The only thing that satisfies is the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that will ever satisfy. 12th verse says this, and I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And I want you to imagine tonight that there's no roof on this place, and we were looking into the sky. And it says, and the heaven departed as a scroll. Have you ever seen the sky just retract itself like a scroll? Good, I haven't either. But the Bible says it's going to happen, so therefore I'm inclined to believe that it's going to happen. It says, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. It says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. It says, to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? If you read over in Ezekiel, I believe it's long about the 29th chapter, maybe about the 9th verse, 19th verse, somewhere around in there. old Israel, Judah, the nation of Judah, had become so wicked. I told you that Judah would be the one that would have the great king, the great one come out of it, the one that the scepter belongs. But God spoke to them over there in Israel, and He said, remove the diadem. O wicked men of Israel, O wicked king of Israel. And He said, until the day that I replace it, until the day that I bring it back to you, there's going to come a day when the rightful king is going to be heir of all. You see, there have been a lot of kings that thought that they were good, that thought they had done a lot of good things. And I reckon tonight, there's a lot of people, maybe in your shoes, that think, I've done enough to get myself into heaven. No doubt those men over there in Israel, they thought because they were kings of Israel that they were doing real well. But this here tells us, it says, every man, great man, rich man, chief captains, bondman, free man. It says when the heavens are departed as a scroll, that they will run and seek that the mountains would fall on them. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen kings get up off their thrones and run and beg the mountains to fall on them. You see, they're not justified. And they know that. You see, as I told you, when I would go before my parents and I'd ask, may I please? Or can I please? And they said no, because my justification didn't work. And I did it anyways. You know what happened? There was always some trouble on the other end of it. You see, I have a little debit card. I don't have a credit card. I'd probably be very irresponsible with it if I had it. Because you can just slide that thing and rack up all the debts you want on it. Well, you can just slide it and buy everything you think you want. You know, sin is the exact same way. You can go as far with sin as you want to go. You can go as far with it as you'll go. But you want to know something? There's going to be a day you're going to pay your debt. You will stand before God and you will pay your debt. And you better be justified. You see, my debt was paid at Calvary. Because He justified me. He saved my soul one night when I bowed before Him. And I told Him, I'm not worthy, but You are. You see, that's what happens when you get saved. You come before Him humbly. We tell people all the time, you've got to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Why is that? Because you're not worthy. You know what you're doing when you're coming before God? You're begging Him and you're asking Him to save your soul. If you come at Him and say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I deserve this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, but I demand that because of who I am, You save me. You'll never get it. But when you come before God and you realize just how awful of a sinner that you are, God will justify you. He will save that soul. He'll take you out of the miry pits of hell and place your feet on a solid rock, and you'll be as saved as you will ever be. You see, it asks the question here, who shall be able to stand? Who's going to be able to stand on that day? I'm going to tell you just exactly who will be able to stand on that day. Not the kings and the queens and the senators and senate and congressmen and the presidents, not all of them. If they've been saved, they will. But you know who's going to be able to stand before God in His indignation? Those that have been redeemed by the worthy blood of the Lamb. So there's going to be people that are going to try to stand. The Scripture says that they'll come before God and they'll say, don't you realize the things that I have done? Don't you know all of the good things that I have done? Don't you realize I have done all these things in Your name? Don't you realize what I've done? And He's going to say, He's going to look at them. He's going to say, depart, for I know you not. You see, the thing is, you're not hiding from Him tonight. You're not. You might be in this crowd of people and you might say, nobody knows that I'm lost. Nobody has no clue. Do you want to know something? If you're lost, God knows about it, and that's the only person that needs to know. But you want to know something? There's going to be a day when you're going to stand before God and everything is going to be aired out. That debt's coming due. You see, I've got a light bill I've got to pay before this weekend. I should have paid it today. I got a light bill I've got to pay. And if I don't pay that thing, they're going to cut my lights off. I could pay it. I just put it off. Procrastinated. You can procrastinate all you want to. But someday that carpet's going to be pulled out from under you. And time is going to be no more. The Scripture says, I believe over in the book, maybe 1 Thessalonica, Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, it says that He shall come as a thief in the night. It says those that know that He's coming, they would be prepared if they knew that He was coming that night. If I told you tonight, I'm going to be at your house at 12:03 this morning, guess what you'd do? You'd be ready for me. If a thief wrote a note to you this afternoon and placed it on your door and said, I'm going to be here after a while, every single one of us would be waiting with a baseball bat to wear their heads out. If you knew tonight that this was it, you'd be doing something about it. The Bible says nobody knows the day nor the hour that He's coming back. Right. Not even the Son of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, I've got plans for tomorrow. I do. Long about 5:30, I know I'm supposed to be here because we're going to have a dinner. Long about 7 o'clock, I know that I'm supposed to be here because we're supposed to be starting another service. You see, next Wednesday, I know I've got plans. I've got things that I think I've got to do. You know, I'm supposed to be in Indianapolis next Wednesday night to start a revival at Fellowship. But you want to know something about tomorrow? It just might not ever get here. You see, you may say, well, preacher, why are you so concerned about tonight? Because this is all you got. You don't have tomorrow. The Bible says that our lives are as a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. James says that. I believe it's the truth. I don't believe one of you tonight should step out of this place without being saved because tomorrow may never be here. I don't even know that I've got another breath. The Bible doesn't guarantee that. And it sure doesn't guarantee you another minute. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's coming a day when He's going to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, every now and then, a king dies or a queen dies, and boy, they get upset about it. They'll find the news, they'll go all over the place trying to get a story. When the Queen of England dies, well, that's all you'll hear about for 6 months. Why, the Queen of England has died. And they'll be trying to get the next person in line. But you know tonight, my king is waiting to be crowned. He's just waiting for the trumpets to sound. And time to be no more. And you know what's going to happen on that day? They're going to crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want you to know something tonight. They won't invite me the day that they inaugurate the next king or queen of England. They're not going to write me and say, I want you to be here. But I want you to understand something tonight. When they begin the ceremony to crown Him king, guess who's going to be there? I'm going to be there. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're going to be there. But if you die lost and in your sins, you're going to hell and you're going to watch from that side. The Bible says there's a great gulf fixed. I believe you're going to watch everything that's going on. I believe you're going to know all about it. I believe you're going to see everything that's going on. And you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be wishing, I wish I had just one more opportunity to seek the Lord. Because you know what? If I had that opportunity now, I'd pour my heart out to Him. Scripture says, today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Didn't say tomorrow. Didn't say the next day. It said now. So if the Lord is dealing with you, I beg you, I'm not asking anymore. I'm tired of asking people to seek God. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of heaven first, and everything shall be added unto you. We're tired of asking people. I'm at the urgency now that I'm begging you, don't put this off. If you don't see the need tonight, you're never going to get it. You have got to see your need. But most importantly, Jesus is going to look down. If you seek Him out, He's going to see your need. He's going to look beyond every fault you've got. He's going to save that soul. Oh, they're getting ready to crown Him king. There's not ever been anybody in this world that has been worthy of the name King. Not in my estimation. There's not been one of them that has ever been worthy to wear that name. Oh, but there's coming a day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He's going to be crowned. And you know what? He's worthy. The Lamb of God is worthy tonight. Are you saved? For the great day of His wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? I'm going to ask you to do something tonight, and I'm going to close. But Colin, get a song together before we sing this. I'm going to ask you to stand if you've been saved by the grace of God. If you don't have a time and a place, you can't stand. And if you can't stand, you need to be seeking the Lord if God is dealing with you. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can't stand and God is not dealing with you, you better ask Him to deal with your soul, because tomorrow is not coming for you, because you don't know that. All you've got is right now. I'm not trying to be anything other than what the Lord has asked me to do. And I want you tonight, if you know the Lord, you stand while we sing this song. If you don't know the Lord, sit in your seat and realize on that day, those that are standing, they'll be able to stand before the righteous King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's going to look at you and He's going to say, "Depart, for I don't know you." If you have truly been saved, you have a time and a place that you know about where the Lord has saved you. If you don't, you better get it tonight. While we stand together and while we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." May God help you while we stand together, while we sing. Thank you, sir.